enter into the very height of our service and our worship service, and that is whenever we see before us here the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible does not tell us how many times to do this. We have voted to do this once a quarter, and I fall down so many times, and it comes around so fast, I don't remember when the quarter's gone. It's already over. This is the first quarter of our church year. It already slipped by, so we're on our second quarter. So we will observe the Lord's Supper, and this is His Supper. It's not a Baptist Supper. It's not a Methodist Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. So we believe in an open communion, that if you've been a baptized, born-again believer, no matter what church you are a member of, we invite you to take the Lord's Supper with us this hour. We thank you, and we hope we understand, and that's what we continuously to do is we read and study in our Bible to understanding the blood. I grow in knowledge all the time. I've always learned a little bit more by studying the Word of God, and God showed me a few things tonight, or this morning as I began to study this, and last night, about understanding the blood. It's so very, very important. We sing that beautiful song, "There's Power in the Blood." There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. But how many of us tonight, as Christians here at Pleasant Hill, how many of us really, really live in that passion and that power of the blood of Jesus Christ? How many of us really, really walks in a victorious life? If not, why not? Do we really have this great victory life that we should have in Christ Jesus? Is it because, if we're not, is it because the blood has lost its power? Is it because the blood lost its power if we're not living in this victorious life? Many people, I really believe the reason is because many people, including myself, don't really understand the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I hope that we will understand more. If we learn this great truth of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe it would warm our heart, and I believe it will bless us in a very special way to know the power in the blood of Jesus Christ and what it does for each of us every day, every moment, not just whenever we're saved and we say we apply that to our life and we're saved, yes, but it's continuously, on and on and on. Really, I'd like to try to introduce maybe a little science lesson for you here tonight to understand our blood and to understand Jesus Christ's blood, what it does for each and every one of us this hour. And going into my message, we'll try to be as fast as possible because we know we'll have time to minister the Lord's Supper tonight. John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus is speaking about this subject. Then Jesus said unto them, "Very, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as the fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, when they had heard the hard sayings of this, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They didn't understand. When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, do this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up from where he was before. Then he explained it. It is the spirit that quicketh. Flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the reading and the blessing and the power of the word of God, that we may understand more about your precious blood and what it means to each and every one of us. Not just the day of salvation and the moment of salvation, but for all eternity and every day that we live under the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray that you might send the Spirit to open up the hearts of our understanding. Father, I cannot open up the hearts of people. I bring the truth, Lord, but Lord, you must open up their heart. And Father, we just pray the working power of the Holy Spirit of God to be upon this congregation this hour. And Father, we might praise the name of Jesus Christ, especially what Jesus done on Calvary, was shed that blood in his broken body, that here this day that we might have life and have it abundantly, Father, and have it eternally. And what you mean so much to all of us every day, every moment, every hour of our life, and even in our eternal life. We thank you again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like for us to look just a moment now at this sacred blood as I kind of hurry along here. And why Jesus Christ had this sacred blood? Why? Because he was born a virgin. That's very, very important. Because, you see, the blood is determined by the father, and the bloodline is not determined by the mother. A baby in the mother's womb, as we know now, that have one blood type, and maybe the mother might have another blood type. But the blood type is determined by the father, the sperm, and not the egg. Jesus Christ was virgin born. The father determined the blood of Jesus Christ, a divine blood that Jesus Christ had, a sacred blood. That's the reason Jesus Christ could not have sinned. He did not have the blood of you and I. It goes all the way back to Adam because it was sinless blood, a sin blood. But we have sin. He had sinless blood because his blood come from the Father. That's very and very important today. God's blood. But God is a spirit, you say. They said God is a spirit. And a spirit does not have blood. Well, Jesus did when he walked on this earth. That's very important to understand. Acts chapter 20 and 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer to feed the church of God." Listen to what he said, "which he have purchased with his own blood." This is sacred blood, Jesus Christ's blood, because he shed that blood, that sacred blood, being virgin born, that you and I, we may not have to worry about this place called eternal hell because of that blood cleanse us. And it made us fit for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Well, as you turn this blood into sacred blood, because it is sacred blood, it is saving blood. If it had not been sacred blood, it would not be saving blood. Jesus Christ had to be innocent to die for you and I. Romans chapter 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but there's a gift of God's blood. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Behold, all souls are mine," it says in Ezekiel 8 and 4, "as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of man is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So what it says there, we all have sinned. It says the soul that sinneth shall die. Do you know all of us deserve capital punishment? Do you know all we fall under that same capital punishment? That's what we deserve. People don't like to say that. They don't like to think that I deserve death, I deserve hell, but we all deserve capital punishment. But Jesus Christ died for me, and he died for you. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God, if God was overlooked just one half of sin, just one half of sin, say, "I ain't done nothing real bad." If he has overlooked just one half of sin, did you know God would no longer be holy? He would no longer be holy if he could overlook just one half of sin, much less just one sin. Sin must be punished. And your sins and my sin, because we've accepted what Jesus done on Calvary's cross, was punished on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There's power in the blood. Power, wonder-working power. So as we're moving kind of fast tonight, we see this was sacred blood. By being sacred blood, it was saving blood. And then by being saving blood, it was shared blood. This is where you and I really need to understand the blood keeps on and on and on. The shared blood, Jesus Christ to his followers, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." And then they left him by the hundreds and the droves. And he turned to his disciples in John chapter 6 and 67 says, "Then said Jesus to his 12, will you also go away? Multitude was following Jesus at that time. But when he said this, they turned and left." And the same thing today. People don't want to talk about this blood thing. They don't want to talk about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You hear this today and you see that, man, that's so bloody religion that we believe in. Today they don't want it because they don't understand it. But as you begin to study your Bible and what God says about this blood, Genesis 9 and 4 also tells us, "But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." Now, we find out we should not eat that. Now, let's take a Bible study. And these disciples now, they've been brought up in the Word of God. They heard it all their life. They talked about this now. The Bible says you not eat any type of meat that has blood in it. All the laws of Moses tells them this. In Leviticus chapter 3 and 17 says, "It shall be a perpetual statute," that means never ending, "for your generation throughout all your dwelling, that ye eat neither fat nor blood." Now here Jesus Christ says to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and all their life they said, "You eat no blood." It says also in 7:26, Leviticus, "Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings." Verse 27, "Whatsoever soul it shall be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from the people." Now, Jesus Christ said, "You must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood." Now, these Jews and these disciples that he was talking to, they was conservative like you are tonight. We believe in the Word of God. They was Orthodox Jews. If you don't know what that is, they was very careful. They was kosher Jews. Well, you ever heard kosher? They don't eat meat. That means the kosher meat, the blood, had to be drained out of all the meat that they eat. You know, you deer hunters, y'all kill a deer and you put it in soak for two or three days on ice. You soak it, and you soak it, and you soak it. Well, all their meat had to be soaked and drained real well from all the blood. That's all they had ever heard. Leviticus chapter 17 and 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls." Verse 14 says, "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it, for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." Now, the Jews got to thinking, now, all their life, don't eat blood. That was the Old Testament law. All their life, don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. You shall be cut off. Don't eat no manner of blood. You shall be cut off. Eat no blood. Eat no blood. All the laws. And even after the laws, even into the New Testament, the early church. In the early church, they had the same problem. Because, see, so many times these Old Testament ceremonies come over into their life. And you and I, you know what, whenever we was first saved, you know what, we bring things back out of our old way of life into our Christian life. We have a lot of problems with it, amen? But you see, they had these same problems with these ceremonies. But they had a conference there in Jerusalem, a Jerusalem conference. And they talk about these Gentiles now, because these Gentiles was never under the law about sustaining from blood and from meat. And they was never under the Moses law, so they asked the question, what are we going to do with them? So Acts chapter 15 and 28 says, "For it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Acts chapter 15 and 29, "That ye abstain from meat offerings to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fortification, for which if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well. And fare you well." Two of them things says again there in the New Testament. It says, abstain from blood, meat offered to idols, and also from things strangled. It was forbidding for the Jews to ever eat anything was strangled, because you know when things are strangled to death, the blood is not drained out of them. That has been their law all their life. Don't eat blood. But now Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, to the Orthodox Jews, to the kosher Jews, the conservative Jews that have been following him. And then he says, if you don't drink my blood and eat my meat of me and my body, you won't have life. And many of them left. And you kind of wonder why. He asked his 12 disciples, will you also go away? But Jesus Christ He explained this in the verse, our last verse that I read in that first chapter, I'm that chapter 6 and 63. He said, it is a spirit that quicketh. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, I'm talking to you about spiritual things when I'm talking about drinking my blood and eating my body. Now, we have a whole group of people that believes whenever you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're actually taking the body of Jesus Christ and his blood. This is symbolism here tonight before us. And it is a spiritual thing that we're going to do here tonight. Jesus Christ was not talking to his disciples about eating my fingers and drinking his blood. If you do not understand what he's talking about, what the blood is going to do. Verse 63, as I read, these words are speaking to you. They are spirit and they are life. And it's dealing with every day of life. Because the shed blood now, it deals with a penalty of sin. The shared blood, it deals with a power of sin every day in our life. That's the reason we need to know this power of we have in the blood. Lessons for us to learn. This message to understand what Jesus and his blood shed really means to us and what he's doing for us in these verses of scriptures. There's three of these lessons now in this blood. Commodities that's in this blood. Now remember now these commodities. Now we're talking about spiritual life, but now we're going to use this life that's in the blood. Jesus said, my life must be in you. My life must be in you. I want you to kind of visualize here for just a moment of a great gigantic pipeline. And it's going all over the United States. This gigantic pipeline is going to every city. It's flowing to every house, every cottage, every hut, to every person. In this gigantic pipeline, there's also little boats coming in that pipeline. In that pipeline, and it carries these boats, and these boats have everything that you need. All you got to do is reach out and get whatever that you need for this day. And get whatever that you need right this moment. And if you miss a boat, there'll be another boat coming right behind you. And this pipeline don't just go over America, but goes over all the continents of the world. To every island, to every village, to every jungle, to every great city. These pipelines and these boats carry everything that people need all over the world. 6 billion people on the face of the earth. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Because you see, the same thing as your blood vessels. Your blood vessels in your body is a pipeline that's flowing to each of your cells. And everything your cell needs in your body to function and to live is carried by the blood. Every cell, no matter what that cell needs of blood, is carrying it to it. Whatever it needs for survival. Commodity is in the blood. If your cell needs oxygen and you do, it just brought me oxygen to my lungs, and my lungs carried it out. But now, knowing this, there's also now these red blood cells, as they bring this to us and all parts of cells of our body, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Every cell in my body is dependent upon the blood in my body. Every cell in my body is dependent upon the very mercy of the blood to bring them everything I need in this body. Jesus Christ is blood. Are you in the body of Christ tonight? Are you born again believer? Christ says you in his body. You are a cell in the body of Jesus Christ. And just like in my body, every one of these cells depends upon the blood for survival. You depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ every day for survival. We have to have his blood every day. That is commodity that brings everything that we need into this body, but it's commodity that the blood brings every day that you need. Everything that you need, the blood brings it there. It's up to you for your choosing. Now, the cleansing of the blood. John 1:1-7 says, but if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Now, the blood is a detergent. You can't wash your clothes in blood and think they're going to come clean. But that's not what he's talking about. It's not physical. He's talking about spiritually, our bodies. Now, our cells in our bodies, the same way now as you think the cell that you are in Christ, our cells in our bodies, you see, they burn food. They burn food. And you know when they burn food, there's a waste product giving off the food that we burn, and it's a garbage in one form or the other. And you see, it mounts up, and the garbage mounts up into our life more than what you realize. You know the garbage truck that comes by all the time? It's amazing how much garbage that we can collect each day in our home. It fills up these garbage cans every weekend running over. It's amazing at the garbage that we collect. I remember seeing on television a few years ago where they had a garbage strike in New York City, and the garbage was piled up. It was just amazing how much garbage was piled up in just a few days. It don't take long to pile up garbage. You see, the same thing in our life. Our garbage, you see, depends on this blood. And if this blood don't carry this garbage out of our life, I'm going to tell you, from the lung, you see, we have this oxygen, and we carry away the garbage of carbon dioxide. Now, if we don't get rid of this, I'm going to tell you, that gas out of us, you're not going to function very well very long. Now, these same boats in this gigantic pipeline that I told you, these same boats that brings you everything that you need in your life, these same boats also loads up the garbage and carries these garbage out of your life each day. Now, for instance, kidneys. A lot of people have kidney problems. And if you don't have the cleansing of the blood in your kidneys, did you know you won't live very long? That's the reason when their people's kidneys quit functioning, they have to go on this dialysis machine. You know what that machine does? It cleanses the blood. It don't work on the kidneys, but it cleanses the blood. It carries the toxin, it carries the garbage out of these bodies, and it cleanses it. Now, that's what the blood is doing to every one of you here this night. It's carrying the garbage out of your system right now. The blood cells. You see, because if your kidney's not working, listen, you're not going to live very long. The garbage you pile up, and you will not make it very long. And remember now, the idea and the picture is that you are a child of God and you are a cell of God. And it's the same thing. If garbage piles up in your life and you don't allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin, the garbage is going to pile up in your life. Now, let me give you an illustration. Most of us have had our blood checked with our blood pressure cup. And you put that blood pressure cup on your arm and you mash it until it gets up over 100, 200. And it's a little slight pain, not too bad. You can stand it for a little while, but you just tighten that thing down and just leave it there. And start making a fist. Did you know what? After a while, you'll start having some pain, will you not? And that pain will grow more intense all the time. And it grow more intense all the time. Did you know why that you're having that pain? Because you got that blood cut off. And that pain tells you that it cannot take the garbage out of the cells that's been burnt, and that's where the pain comes in. And you leave it there long enough, and I'm afraid you might not even have an arm if you leave it there long enough. It might even die and fall off. Now, you see, that's why sin and suffering are linked together. Anybody have any suffering? Sin and suffering linked together because we do not allow the blood to flow through our bodies and clean out the garbage that's in our life every day. And when I don't do that, I have pain in my life, and you'll have pain in your life. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is not flowing through our body as God designed it to do. And that builds up toxin in our life. That builds up garbage and trash in our life. And the blood of Jesus Christ operates the same well as the blood in our body, those cells. It begins to flow through our body, and it takes the garbage out of our life. That's what the Word of God does. It tells us about the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us from all sin. That's what God is doing on a daily basis with the blood right now of Jesus Christ. Cleansing us from all sin. You see, because we have these sin problems. And you see, it's like that blood pressure cup. You put it around your arm and you're cutting it off. When we sin, we come short of the glory of God, and we'd all sin. You know what you're doing? You're putting that blood pressure cup on, and then you see you start having pain because you're not listening to God. And you cut that blood flow of Jesus Christ off, and that pain begins to grow. And then you release that thing, and as soon as you release that thing, you see you get that feeling starts coming back in your hands, and the warmth starts coming because the blood is circulating through that arm, and it's taking all that garbage out. And I tell you, you feel good again on that arm. You see, that's the second thing, the cleansing of the blood. But then we find, you see, there's conquest in the blood also. There's a war going on in our body all the time. I mean, everywhere. Now, some people don't want this blood because, you see, they think they may have to give up something that they don't want to give up. But God says, you know what? If you come to me, you know what you'd have to give up? The things that will hurt you and the things that are not good for you. And that blood will cleanse you. Psalms 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be held from them that walk upright. He says, I'll take care of the garbage. You just come just like you are. That's what the blood says. Now, your blood continuously fighting the battle in your body. Did y'all know that? All the time. There's also something that's invading our body all the time. Now, we think that the greatest enemy to us is these great earthquakes we have, and they're bad, and tornadoes and hurricanes and flood and hailstorms and all that. But you see, the biggest enemy that we have is that invades the human body in microscopic little small things we cannot even see, called bacteria and virus. They're invading our body all the time. Now, World War I, there was 8.5 million people killed in World War I. 8.5 million people died. They signed a world peace treaty. And 1 year after that, there was a little virus, a microscopic virus. It was in Rome and also in Europe. And killed over 25 million people of something that couldn't even be seen. The plague. It invaded the bodies more than World War I. You see, because there was a flu epidemic. And I could go on and tell you about this flu epidemic. The body has these defense soldiers that lives within us, inside the bodies. And they're white blood cells. And these white blood cells, they are at war with anything that enters into our bodies. Now, the science tells us, I've been reading, that some of these white blood cells, they live for 6 hours and 10 hours, and they die off and mother comes back. But some of them, for some reason or another, are soldiers that live anywhere from 60, 80, and longer years in our body. They live a long time in our body. And when an invader comes, the soldier comes in this body, and the soldier, that white blood cell, gets his name, his rank, and his serial number. And he whips that rascal. And the next time that invader comes into that body, they have a built-in memory. And the next time, whatever virus it is that invades that body, that white blood cell says, I know you and I know how to whip you. But then you see there's invaders that comes in that they've never seen before. Y'all remember what the smallpox did in the world? It's because they didn't know what it was. The white blood cells could not arm themselves against the invader that come into the body because they'd never seen anything like it before. They didn't have the name, rank, and serial number. But if you read your science and know what happened, a man named Jennings, you know, was trying to take care of a bunch of people that was dying with smallpox and trying to get someone to help. Nobody wanted to be around to help because everybody was helping was dying. But there was one lady, it was called a lady milkmaid. She says, I'm not as scared of the smallpox. I'll help you because I had already had cowpox. Y'all read this. I've had cowpox. And cowpox, she was immune to smallpox because she'd already had a small dose of cowpox. And those white blood cells got the name and rank and the serial number of those pox. So whenever the smallpox tried to enter in her system, it whipped them. So they took her blood, and by a transfusion of her blood, by giving this series, they built up immunity against smallpox. Now, a lot of y'all kids, I don't know, older than me, I had a smallpox vaccination. Anybody had a smallpox vaccination whenever I was little? You don't think they do that no more, do they? I don't think kids, I don't even know if you give kids a smallpox vaccination or not. I'm not even sure. But what it is, they get that immune to that the system and that white blood cells. They got the name and rank and serial number of the smallpox, and when that smallpox entered into that system, I know you and I know how to beat you. Okay, if you understand that, then you might understand this. The blood of that person helped clean the blood of another person. Jesus' blood, you are a cell, each one of us, and his blood goes to every one of our cells. You know what? It helps us clean all the invaders that we have in our life. And I've told you many times, and even though I don't even understand it, that you know I don't have to sin. You know, as us Baptists say, well, you're going to sin. It kind of makes it easy when we do sin. But I want to tell you what the Word of God says about the blood of Jesus Christ. You do not have to sin, and I do not have to sin. Because that blood is made through Jesus Christ to cleanse all sin. We don't have to. But through my weakness and my stubbornness and everything else that goes along with it, and you too, we will. Amen? Any of you here hadn't sinned this week? We will. And then whenever we do, you see, we have these little boats that comes along in our life, and they carry the garbage out, the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what's happened to us this very hour. And John, in 1 and 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him." John 16 and 33 said, "These things I have spoken to you, that ye might have peace, and in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Revelation 12 and 11 says, "And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and love not their life unto death." It is the blood. The blood. You see, what we have is a blood transfusion. That's the reason this is so important for us to understand. This blood. It didn't happen 2,000 years ago and you were saved and that's it. It's happening continuously every day. It's working every day. It's coming into my life and your life, the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what it does? It's trying its best to carry the garbage out if it ain't cut off some way or another, like I cut it off. By our stubbornness, by unwilling to yield to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, by disobedient to Jesus Christ, and I cut off of my life. And when I do, there's some pain going to come sooner or later if you stay cut off long enough. Whether it be your family, whether it be you, whether it be anybody else that knows Jesus Christ. If you cut off that blood flow long enough, there's going to be pain. Because it cannot carry the trash out of our life and the garbage out of our life. Jesus' blood carries the garbage out of our life tonight. I hope that you understand a little bit more about what the blood has really done for us. As we come now with our song, as we go into minister the Lord's Supper in just a moment. The most greatest service that you'll ever be in is this service whenever you think about what God's done for you on the cross of Calvary. What he really means to each and every one of us. What that blood means to us. Not just a one-time thing, not something that we just do once a quarter, but I mean every day, every hour, is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read these scriptures, Luke 22, 13 and on. "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the apostles with him, and he said unto them, With desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall not eat it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he received a cup, and when he had gave thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I shall not drink from henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you. But behold, the hand of him that betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it had been determined. But woe unto the man to whom he is betrayed." We'll ask the deacons if they would come at this time. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper given to us to celebrate the memory of his broken body and his shed blood. We'll ask the deacons to come, make ready the table. It is said that on that night before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took bread and having blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body which is given for you. Jim, would you lead us in prayer? John 6:58. This is a bread that came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. We'll ask the deacons to come again. On that same night, our Lord took the cup, and having blessed it, gave to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, which was shed for you." Brother Ray, would you listen to prayer?
God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Lord, we just thank you, God, for allowing us, God, to be here again tonight, Lord. God, as we come to this portion of the service, Lord, we do you through this in remembrance of you, Lord. God, we just remember, Lord, the things that you've done for us, Lord. You died on that cross, Lord, for our sins, Lord. God, we just thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, I may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. First Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And after the Lord and his disciples broke bread and drunk the wine, celebrating the first supper, it says they sang a hymn as they went out. Do we have a hymn, Brother Orville? Or are we going to dismiss in prayer? Do we have a hymn? Okay, we're going to dismiss in prayer. If you would you stand, please?